أعتقد أن الغرب يجب أن يعترف بأن الغرب كان مخطئاً في فرض هذه الحرب علينا، وأنه من الأفضل إقامة علاقات جيدة مع روسيا بدلاً من القتال. علينا أن نحرر أنفسنا. تحتاج جميع الحضارات إلى تحرير نفسها من ديكتاتورية الغرب الليبرالي والعلماني. أخيراً قد وجدنا الطريقة للفوز في هذه الحرب. نحاول القيام بذلك بوسائل مختلفة، والآن وجدنا الطريقة، الطريقة التي تمكننا من تحقيق النصر النهائي والراديكالي والكامل على أعدائنا. أعتقد أن انهيار الاتحاد الأوروبي أمر لا مفر منه، إنه أمر سوف يحدث.
ما الذي يجعل روسيا لا تريد أن تكون جزء مما أصبحت عليه أوروبا اللي كانت تسمى أوروبا الغربية يعني؟
لأن النظام العالمي المتعدد الأقطاب يجب أن يكون له تأثير إسلامي، ونحن لا نملك شيئاً من هذا القبيل الآن. دعمنا دائماً بشار الأسد في اللحظة الحاسمة في كل تاريخ سوريا، عندما أثار الغرب حرباً أهلية داخل سوريا.
يزداد العالم انقساماً وتزداد التوترات في كثير من دول العالم، وقد وصل الأمر إلى حد الحروب والصراعات المسلحة وتفجر المزيد من النزاعات والأزمات. ومع هذه التطورات تزداد الحروب الحضارية بين الأمم. وفي وقت يفسر بعض المفكرين أسباب ما يحدث، بل ويذهب آخرون بعيداً في سبيل التحريض على هذه الحروب، يقدم مفكرون غيرهم حلولاً لهذه الحروب والصراعات من أجل عالم أكثر سلاماً وأمناً وهدوءاً وعدلاً. من هذه الحلول تعايش الحضارات ومنع سيطرة حضارة على شعوب أخرى لها حضاراتها وثقافاتها التي تفخر بها ولا تقبل بالانسلاخ عنها. من هؤلاء المفكرين والمنظرين من يرى بأن تحقيق ذلك يقتضي الخلاص من الغرب، ليس بالمفهوم الجغرافي ولكن بمفهوم التحرر من سيطرته الثقافية والاقتصادية، وخلق نظام عالمي جديد تتعدد فيه الأقطاب، تتنافس لا تتقاتل، تتعايش لا تتنافر. ولعل الحرب الروسية في أوكرانيا أكبر دليل على السعي لتشكيل أقطاب جديدة مقابل وداع القطب الواحد الذي تفرد في السيطرة على العالم ل35 سنة. المفكر الروسي ألكسندر دوغين، وإن اتهم في الغرب بأنه يستخدم فلسفته لتسويغ وتمرير السياسات الروسية، إلا أنه يشرح بفيض أسباب سيطرة الغرب وينادي بمواجهته، ليس بإلغائه بل بالتوازن معه، وبضرورة تعاون روسيا مع دول مثل الصين والهند ودول العالمين الإسلامي والعربي لتحقيق هذا التوازن. أهلا بكم في 50 دقيقة. من أبرز ما ينظر به ويدعو له هو الأوراسيا، البديل الذي يراه الأنسب لنظام عالمي جديد يتحرر من سيطرة القطب الواحد وسطوته. لنفهم هذه الأفكار والمنطلقات أكثر، يسعدني أن يكون ضيفي في هذه الحلقة من 50 دقيقة المفكر الروسي ألكسندر دوغين من موسكو. أهلا بك معنا أستاذ ألكسندر في 50 دقيقة. 3.5 سنوات عمر الحرب الروسية في أوكرانيا. هذا السؤال في البداية، يعني كون الحرب ما زالت مستمرة، هل تورطت روسيا في هذه الحرب؟
So I think that it is quite opposite. Russia now it is in very good shape in this war. We are on offensive operation in the Donbas region. We weren't prepared to this war because it is the war of new generation and the use of drones has influenced very much the battlefield, and we didn't think that we are going to stay to fight against the collective West. We would like to solve the problem with Ukraine without involvement of the West. So, but now it is after this almost 4 years of the fight, we could stay against all the might, all the pressure of collective West, and we are gaining the territory in Ukraine. And I think now we have found the way how to win this war. We try to do it by different means, and now we have found the way how to have the ultimate and radical total victory over our enemies.
في لقاء سابق قلت بأنك تكاد تجزم بأن روسيا ستنتصر. يعني ما الذي ساقك إلى هذا الاعتقاد؟
So Russia has transformed its society, its economy, its infrastructure in order to make this war the war of people. People's war, as was the case when we confronted the armies of the troops of Napoleon or Hitler. Now our country, our industry is dedicated to the victory. We are very powerful, and our strength is growing. And at the same time, we see that Ukrainian power forces are exhausted, and all the help, all the aid, all total support of the collective West to the Ukraine could not change the line of the of this war. So it was a very dramatical experience for us, this war, with new strategies, new tools. And now we have created the huge industry of drones. We have developed our own strategy adapted to this new generation of war. And we are masters of the battlefield with totally new technology. This war has shown that traditional weapons, as tanks and other thing, the troops on the earth, they don't play anymore the decisive role in the military strategy. So we have totally different kind of war, and we weren't prepared for that. But now we are recovering, almost totally recovered from the first years of this a little bit confusion that that reigned over us. And I think now we're in very good shape as country, as society, as political system, as army, as troops. So we are in very good shape, and we are ready to lead this war until the logical end, that will be our total victory of the our enemy.
سيد ألكسندر، لا أريد أن أعيد إنتاج اللقاء السابق معك، ولكن فقط لأنه نتحدث عن الحرب يعني في روسيا وفي أوكرانيا، وهناك الكثير من الأسئلة الجديدة، لكن فقط أريد أن يعني أذكر بسؤال طرحته عليك، وهو مقولة لك. قلت سواء انتصرت روسيا أو انتصر الغرب فلن تكون هناك أوكرانيا. أريد فقط مرة أخرى أن تشرح لنا هذه النقطة، ماذا قصدت؟
For example, if Russia wins, Ukraine will be the part of Russia. So there will be not independent sovereign state, because we could not tolerate the existence of hostile political, geopolitical entity with criminal ideology so near to us. So if we win, there will be no Ukraine. If the West wins. Now it is very little probable, but Russia would use nuclear weapon in order to save our sovereignty, and that means that there will be no Ukraine in both cases.
حرب روسيا في أوكرانيا هل هي عمليا حرب روسيا مع الغرب وحرب فرضت من الغرب على روسيا يعني؟
Yes, absolutely so. That was Western war imposed on Russia. We were obliged to respond. And Trump, the president of United States of America, Trump himself has confessed that was Biden's war. That was the war imposed on Russia by the liberal globalist West. And now the West is losing this collective war on Russia because of the power of Russian mentality, Russian soul, Russian psychology, Russian society, Russian technology. So now we defend our sovereignty against the attempt to destroy it by the Western globalism. I think the West should recognize that West was wrong imposing on us this war and recognize that better to have the good relations with Russia and not fight.
في كثير من يعني طروحاتك ومن تنظيرك تتحدث عن الغرب وسآتي بتفصيل أكثر لكي نفهم يعني رؤيتك لهذه المسألة لكن ألفت كتاب وهو بعنوان الخلاص من الغرب الأوراسية كنت واضح وصريح يعني في العنوان هذا الخلاص هل هو بالمفهوم الجغرافي أم ماذا؟
So first of all, I'm the advocate of the multipolarity. Multipolarity, a new world order based on civilizational states. So it is not anymore the hegemony of the West that could dictate its own values, its own interests, and its own ideas to all the worlds. And there are new emerging poles in the civilization. Russian pole, Chinese pole, Indian pole, in the future Islamic pole, African pole, Latin American pole. So there are the civilizations that are emerging. And each civilization has its own set of values, of concept, of national interest, of geopolitical strategies, of political structure, of religious identity. So we need to consider this new world order as the dialogue between civilization and not anymore the monologue of the West. Because now we are dealing with the Western universalism. The West appoints who is good, who is bad, who is wrong, who is right in all the global conflicts. And the West is promoting its own agenda, its own values and so its own interest as something universal. We need to liberate ourselves. All civilizations need to liberate themselves from this dictatorship of the liberal globalist West and reestablish the total geopolitical, intellectual, civilizational sovereignty. That is my idea. So my idea to be liberated from the West, it is precisely to affirm and defend its own sovereignty. It is not only a Russian problem. It is the problem for all non-Western civilization. And maybe, I think, the modern West should liberate itself from the dominance of the global liberal elite that don't represent anymore Western society. So the fight for the multipolarity, it is not just the fight against the West. It is the fight against these globalist liberal elites that have usurped the power in the Western country without representing the real societies. So we have many, many many people on our side in the West itself that want to re-establish their own sovereignty, the sovereignties of United States, of European countries. So that is about ideology. If you accept multipolarity and traditional values, you are on our side. If you reject multipolarity, if you cling to the unipolar world with only one set of values considered to be something universal, you are the enemy. That is about that. It is not about some national states, some regional interests, maybe in contradiction. That is something much more. I see this war in Ukraine as the ideological battle between two versions of the architecture of the global world, of the international landscape. Either it will be multipolar and we are fighting for it, or it will still be unipolar, and that is what the globalist liberal elites want to secure. And that is impossible. Now, multipolarity is emerging. Multipolarity is inevitable and irreversible.
كيف تفسر ظاهرة صعود اليمين المتطرف في الغرب في السنوات الأخيرة؟
So, what they call right wing, they are representative of the traditional identity. They representative that the so-called right wing movement represent majority of their societies, more and more divided, separated from the liberal elites that don't represent anymore the society. So they, the liberal calls it far right or illiberals or populist, but in the reality, it is not like that. It is just normal people rejecting dictatorship of perverted liberal agenda, perverted agenda of globalists. So I don't like when they call it right or far right, right-wing movement. They are normal people wanting to liberate themselves from this elite that doesn't reflect anymore the interests of the normal people, normal society. And we have seen that in the MAGA, in Make America Great Again, MAGA revolution in the United States. Trump was elected precisely to promote the interests of this normal people against the perverted elites called deep states, deep state or swamp by Trumpists. The same the same wave is rising in the European states, and the majority of the voters in Europe are against the existing politics of liberal globalist elite that impose elites that impose the perverted value of LGBT plus and other, and destroy any element of the sovereignty of their people. So they destroy their society with mass illegal migration, with imposing feminism, homosexual marriages, and all kind of perversion of the normality. So that is a revolt of the majority against the liberal globalist minorities in the West, and we feel solidarity with this wave, with this rising power of the normal people in the West. They don't share political radical agenda. They just refuse the liberal elites the right to rule them.
سيد ألكسندر نقلتني إلى نقطة في غاية الأهمية، هو أنه هذا الانهيار الأخلاقي في الغرب تحديدا في أوروبا وبدأ أوروبيون يتحدثون عن قد يكون من الأسباب الكافية لبداية تفكك أو انهيار أوروبا تحديداً؟
I think the collapse of European Union is inevitable. So it is something that will happen, and that is happening now because Europe has lost its sovereignty. Europe has no geopolitical strategy. Europe is just the puppet in the hands of Washington and is ruled by globalist maniacs who doesn't feel any solidarity with their societies. So that is why they blame Putin, they blame Russia. The Europe blames Russia for anything that is inner problem. So in the reality, in the normal world, in the normal reality, Russia is the friend of Europe. Russia is the supplier of very, very necessary resources, natural resources and materials. And we could cooperate to develop for our mutual interest, but the globalist elite, they work against the real interest of Europe. So they have created European Union not as the normal representation of the will of the people, but that was imposition of their crazy understanding of post-human nature, of the individualism, or the gender politics, and they are destroying their own society. European leaders are destroying their own European Union, and they blame for that Russia. And Russia has nothing to do with that. That is why the globalists have started the war in Ukraine, have provoked the war in Ukraine, to blame Russia for all the inner problem. But now situation is much more clear and transparent, and I think that victory of Russia in Ukraine will put the end to this global rule of liberal anti-social governments in Europe. European Union is highly likely is going to collapse. It is collapsing already, but they cling to their power, illegitimate power, but they will lose it. Notwithstanding any efforts they try to do. So the war will not save European Union from the total collapse. It is the question of time. So I think that the West could save itself, changing radically its agenda and coming to the demands of the real society instead of imposing on this society their absolutely anti-democratic agenda.
طيب يعني روسيا جزء كبير منها أوروبي ودولة يعني منفتحة كما في الغرب، لكن ما الذي يجعل روسيا لا تلحق بهذا الركب الأوروبي؟ يعني من حيث الانفتاح، من حيث هذا اللي نراه الآن وأنت شرحته يعني ويسمى الآن الانهيار الأخلاقي، روسيا ما زالت محافظة، يعني تحافظ على القيم، على الأسرة، على العادات الروسية. ما الذي يجعل روسيا لا تريد أن تكون جزء مما أصبحت عليه أوروبا اللي كانت تسمى أوروبا الغربية يعني؟
So, from the very beginning, Russia represented a very particular tendency, Orthodox Christian tendency, and Orthodox Christianity was, from the very beginning, something very different from Catholicism and much more from Protestantism. So, we are deeply divided through the centuries with the Western Europe. When Western Europe became more modern Europe and has abandoned its Christian roots, its Christian traditional values, we became much more far among each other. So we represent two different civilizations. Russian civilizations could still be called, considered to be Christian civilization, Orthodox Christian civilization, but modern West, the Western Europe or United States, they are not anymore Christian civilization. They are no more Christian. They are post-Christian, they are secular, atheist, materialist, and that is the doom for the Western civilization. And the gap between this Western modern and postmodern civilization becoming more and more anti-human, more and more transhuman, and Russia that stays loyal, that keeps the same traditional Christian set of values, the gap is growing. So we could coexist peacefully with this satanic Europe, satanic West, but the West thinks differently because it tried to impose on us their satanic agenda. And we are fighting precisely against that. We are Christians, we are traditional, we have our own Orthodox Christian values of family, of the state, of the people, we society, for us, collective identity is much more important than individual identity. And our identity has roots in the spiritual culture, in spiritual tradition. That is our identity, and we are ready to defend it by all means. And modern Europe is losing more and more its own links to the Christian tradition. So the gap between us is growing more and more, but in spite of that, we are ready to cooperate on some rational mutual interests, but refusing this imposition of the so-called Western liberal gender and other values on us. So we are decisive to conserve and to reinforce and reaffirm our own identity, civilizational identity. And if the West could accept that, we could peacefully coexist. If the West tries to impose its own decadent, collapsing system of so-called liberal values on us, we resist. That is so simple.
Samuel Huntington في كتابه الشهير يعني صدام الحضارات أو صراع الحضارات بيقول إنه العالم بعد الحرب الباردة لن تحدد ملامحه إلا يعني لن تحدد بالحروب الأيديولوجية والاقتصادية إنما بالحروب الحضارية والثقافية. لكن أنت ممن يقول وينادي بتعايش الحضارات. صحيح أن بعض القراء أساء فهم ما يقصد هانتينغتون، لكن في المحصلة هل نحن مقبلون على تعايش حضارات أم صدام حضارات ويكون صدام خطير؟
So what Samuel Huntington has meant in his article and book The Clash of Civilizations. He didn't emphasize that there will be the clashes, war, conflicts, or some contradictions between civilization. He liked to emphasize something totally different, that against the claim of the globalists and the liberals that after the fall of the Soviet Union, there will be only one system of values, there will be only one ideology, the liberalism, only one economical system, the financial capitalism, only one political structure, representative democracy. That was the claim of the globalists, that that thought, who thought that the West has won absolutely, absolutely, and once and forever, and there will be no more. Neither states, nor sovereignties, nor cultures, nor identities, nor religions, nor civilizations. And Huntington has said, no, you are wrong. That is not so. You make mistake. You are in error. So because the ancient civilizations, cultures, religions, the society with deep roots will reappear after the fall of the Soviet Union, and the future world will see this emergence of the civilizations, of this cultural, geopolitical, political, economical continents organized by inner paradigm. And between these independent poles, civilizational poles, there will be all kind of relations, maybe peace, maybe conflict, but the nature of this peace or this conflict, both are possible, will be defined by new international actors, by civilizational states, by the civilizations. That is where we are now. Huntington's vision was totally correct. Fukuyama's vision was totally wrong. So the globalists could not represent their failure, the failure of their analysis. And Huntington's analysis was absolutely right, correct. But what we have to do with this appearance or rise of the civilizations and civilizational state, we need to accept that first, and after that we need to try to create and balance and harmonious relations with between them. So when there is the possibility of war, there is in the same time the possibility of peace. The peace and the war, they are interconnected conceptually. So, if we feel, if we know that that could be conflict, we also are capable to try to avoid it, to find some common decision. So that was in Westphalian Western system. During some century, the wars were possible and actual, and the peace as well. So, but the problem with new civilizational world order is not that it will be more conflict or less conflict. It is not about that. It is about what is the main pole, main actor. And this time, it is not just national state. Normal national state, the mediocre national state, could not afford its real sovereignty in the modern condition. In order to be sovereign, you should create some pole, some block, as Russia, as China, as India, maybe as whole Islamic world. So we need our whole African continent, all whole integrated entire Latin America. So that only that could be the pole. Only such huge, or the West, a global collective West, it is the pole, or maybe two poles, American and Western European, but not the country. The normal country, national state, could not play anymore the role of keeper and of the sovereignty. So we need to change our mind and recognize the validity of a civilizational approach. That doesn't mean that we are doomed to fight, or the peace, international peace, will be granted. Neither one nor the other. So we need to accept the reality of these poles and try to establish harmonious and peaceful relations between them, always keeping in mind that the war is possible. And if the war is possible, we need to concentrate our will, our intentions, good intentions, and our consecrate our wisdom in order to avoid that.
إلى الأحداث المعاصرة، الشرق الأوسط لماذا دائما ملتهب؟ لماذا لا يهدأ هذا الشرق الأوسط؟
Middle East in confrontation, in war, and why this war exists? Because you have in the Middle East a very, very strong, strong Israel, supported by the West, and very deconsolidated and decentralized Islamic countries. So what we see now, why these conflicts are going on in Gaza, in Lebanon, in Yemen, in Syria? Because Islamic world is disintegrated. It could not create a pole in order to oppose the alternative will and power. So the West defeats Islamic countries and Islamic regimes one by one, attacking them through their proxy state of Israel. And Islamic world doesn't respond to that. So I think the West is working with both hands. They support Israel and they control the elites, pro-Western liberal elites of Islamic national states, prohibiting to them to create some unity, common strategy, common will. So I think that is why the war is waging there in the Middle East. But the only way to stop it, because you could not stop Netanyahu with his ideas of greater Israel, he will continue to attack Islamic populations, and the weakness of the Islamic world, it is just an invitation in his eyes to go further, to make explosion of Mosque Al-Aqsa, as Ben-Gvir has many times suggested. So you could not stop Israel or the West by the words, by lamentations, by protests. You are obliged to fight this war, and you try to avoid this war. So that is difference. So Russia has accepted very, very severe challenge. We have sacrificed a lot of our people, our parents, there in this war for our own sovereignty and independence in Ukraine. The challenge is sent to all Muslims. And the Muslim world show itself very, very dependent from the West, non-sovereign, and not capable to secure its own identity and defend its own values. And that is very, very sad in my eyes, because it is the kind of obstacle on the way to create the full-scale multipolarity, because multipolar world order has to have Islamic pole, and we have nothing of this sort now. So Islamic countries are very, very separated, divided, divergent among themselves. And that is why you cannot answer correctly to the aggression of Israel and to genocide of the population, civil population in Gaza.
كأنك قرأت أفكاري جيدا، يعني لأني كنت أريد أن أعرج على ما يجاهر به نتنياهو، بس يعني أضع السؤال في صياغة أخرى. الغرب والولايات المتحدة الآن يعملون على شرق أوسط مستقر هادئ، إعادة تركيب، لكن كل هذا على حساب حقوق الفلسطينيين. يعني يتحدثون عن الأنظمة الجديدة في سوريا، في العراق، في ليبيا، من دون الحديث عن حق فلسطين أو الحق الفلسطيني في الدولة. هل يمكن أن يستقر الشرق الأوسط ما دامت الحقوق الفلسطينية غير محصلة، يعني لا يأخذها الفلسطيني ولا يستردها، وأهم حق هو بناء دولته المستقلة؟
So I think if you rely only on the aid and the help or interference of some Western powers or collective West, you are doomed. You are no more sovereign. You are no more free. So you could not be sovereign if you rely on something other, and more than that, if you rely on your main enemy, that is the Western civilization, modern Western or postmodern liberal civilization. That has nothing in common with Islamic values. It is quite opposite to all Islamic values, to family, to God, to piety, to solidarity, to the mutual help, to sociality. So the modern Western, modern liberal West is opposite, contrary to the Islamic society. In order to save your sovereignty, you need to win. And only the victory of Islamic society united could grant to Palestinian people, to all the regimes and countries in the Middle East and in Maghrib and other places and parts of Islamic world, in that way you could grant the independence, sovereignty, and the freedom.
طيب نظرة على إسرائيل من الداخل. إسرائيل الآن تعيش أزمة داخلية وشرخ عميق، وحتى الإعلام والمحللون الإسرائيليون يتحدثون عن ذلك، وخاصة تنامي يعني الصراع ما بين المتدينين والعلمانيين. وأنا يعني أتذكر لما قرأت عن انهيار الدولة الحشمونائية اليهودية هسمونيان، كان انهيارها أيضا بسبب اليهود المتأثرين بالحضارة الهلينستية الوثنية اليونانية والمتدينين. هذا الشرخ الحاصل في إسرائيل بين المتدينين والعلمانيين قد يكون سبب أيضا في بداية لتفكك هذا المشروع كله، مشروع إسرائيل أقصد.
Maybe, but you should not count on that. So you should count on yourselves. That's my opinion. So there are inner divisions inside of Israel. They are very, very serious. But you could not hope that the enemy, your enemy, Islamic enemy, will be destroyed by itself. It is a kind of vain dream. So there are some division, but Israel society, religious and secular, is united by common identity. The identity of the Israeli people is based on the supremacy of the Jews. And that is the part of the religion, and that is the part of the secular self-consciousness, social consciousness, social self-awareness of the Jewish people, mostly living in Israel at least. So not all, I agree. There are some people who share different position, but the majority accept the exceptionalism of the Jews in secular or religious way. So there are much more that unites the secular and religious parts of Israeli society than their relation to religion. So, and more than that, behind Israel, there is the Christian Zionism in the United States. There is the Atlanticism and the geopolitical establishment of the West in NATO. So, the Netanyahu regime is just the top of the iceberg, the top of the mountain constructed on all power of historical Western imperialism and colonialism. So it is just the spearhead of the Western colonial system. But with very special idea about eschatology, about the end of the time. So I think that is very serious phenomenon. You could not count that it will be destroyed by itself. So it is a kind of vain illusion. So Because many times already Netanyahu was very close to the end, and in all the situation he was saved by either by the West or by the inner political process or by war or by Hamas attack. In different situations he is always winning, and I don't see it will be realistic to think he's over, his days are counted. Better to think that Israel is powerful, strong, and committed to continue its own eschatological, radical agenda to create greater Israel. That will be much more realistic if you accept that as the possible future and react or whatever you do. I think that we need to be realists, and we shouldn't underestimate the power, neither the power of Israel nor the volume of its support from the collective West.
بخصوص سوريا, يعني كيف انهار نظام بشار الأسد بهذه السرعة ولم يتوقع أحد ذلك؟ وسؤال تابع له, يعني هل روسيا في هذه الحالة تخلت عنه وسمحت بهذا الانهيار؟
Russia was always, during all our history, a good friend of Syria and Syrian people. So we were, I agree, the friends and of Assad's family, Assad's rule. We supported Bashar Assad in the critical moment of the Syrian history when the West provoked civil war inside of Syria. But I think that being totally involved in the Ukraine war, we just had not enough military power to prevent the fall of the Assad's regime. Second point, we didn't want to enter in the direct confrontation with Israel that has almost destroyed one by one all the military Iranian assets on the ground in the Syria. So next point, I think that maybe Bashar Assad's regime has made many errors in order not to balance, to create the normal relations with some groups of oppositions, with Kurds and with others. So many mistakes were made, and we could not fight one more war in Syria against the part of its own population, against the West, at the same time against Turkey, against Israel in the south. So that was very, very difficult decision to Moscow to abandon support of the Bashar Assad's regime. But still, Russia is friend of Syrian people. There are so many Russians there, and the only thing we are very bothered by. New clashes inside of Syria, suffering of the Alawite, of the Druze, of other minority. But maybe it is very, very small, but I think still existing hope that new government of Syria will show the wisdom and will not continue these massacres of different of Christians, of Alawites, of Shia, of Druze or Kurds, and will come to some conclusion, political conclusion, that would satisfy all the existing factions in Syrian society. So I think that it is very sad. But nevertheless, we need to continue to try to save our relations with Syrian people, Syrian society that is very close to us. It is not easy, I understand. It is dialectical. So, but nevertheless, I think that And Russia now shows many efforts, makes many efforts in order to re-establish some relations with new government in spite of all the past.
50 دقيقة انتهى وسعد جدا بهذا الحوار معك المفكر الروسي ألكسندر دوغين من موسكو. شكرا لك لوجودك معنا في 50 دقيقة، وشكرا لكم على المتابعة. تحياتي.